Good morning. Let's join together in our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletins. Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church this morning. We want to welcome each and every one of you, and especially those that are visiting with us. It looks like we've got a very interesting service plan this morning. If you are a visitor, we hope that you do indeed feel welcome here at Main Street. And if you're a visitor looking for a church home, if you would give us your address and phone number, that will allow us to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of the church. So as we pass the attendance pads now, if members and visitors alike would please register your attendance, and visitors, please give us that information. We do have a lot going on this week. United Methodist Men will be meeting on Tuesday, October 21st at 5:30 in the Fellowship Hall. Sheriff Dan Weidman will be the guest speaker, so contact the church office and make reservations for that. United Methodist Women will be meeting tomorrow at 12 o'clock noon in the Fellowship Hall. The program will be given by Jeannie Blankenbaker. Again, contact the church office and make reservations for that. Our Fall Bazaar, annual Fall Bazaar, will be held on November the 1st from 9 to 1 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. I have been told to let you know that the Chow Chow Lady will be back. I'm sure that that will mean something to some of you. But the Chow Chow Lady will be back. Also, Richard Pinckney has asked me to announce that we will be selling pavers that were salvaged from the Chipley House driveway prior to the construction. Those will be $1 a piece for whole pavers, and something less for broken ones. I don't know how much less for broken ones, but something less for broken ones. If you don't know what we're talking about, they're 12 by 5 and 5/8 by 2-inch pavers. Samples of those, I think there's some in the narthex, and there's some out beside the elevator if you want to take a look at those. Again, those will be available during the bazaar. Next Sunday, Fall Festival will be held from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. Is that correct, Fellowship Hall? The Fall Festival. Fellowship Hall or gym? Fellowship Hall? It'll be somewhere in the back there, either the Fellowship Hall or the gym. Cakes and desserts are needed for the cakewalk, so if you would be interested in providing cakes or desserts for that, please contact the church office or contact Jessica and let her know that. And I think that is the end of our announcements. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship. Thank you.
God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Welcome to our special Children's Sabbath, which is celebrated of congregations of many faiths across our nation. We believe that every child deserves our love, protection, and blessing just as the Lord loved, protected, and blessed the children that he called to his need. We are so glad that you can be here with us today, and we hope you will come again.
Jesus said, "Let the little children come and forbid them not, for such the kingdom of heaven." He did not only call the rich, the able-bodied, and the strong. He called all the servants, the weak, the strong, the poor, the children. They all called. He did not include only those in my neighborhood and the well-behaved. Jesus said, "Let the little children come and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom." We are the leader. We are the children of God. Let us worship God.
Thank you. please join us for the litany printed in your bulletin.
Jesus said, "Little children, come and forbid them." Oh, Father God, you are so wonderful, and we have many reasons to praise you for always being there, for your power, and for your never-ending love for us.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We are sorry for the things we do that are wrong and that hurt you, other people, and ourselves. We ask your forgiveness for being full of pride, envy, and greed.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We have many decisions that we can't do on our own, and we need your help. Please walk beside us and help us with our decisions and our actions each day.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Father God, you have given us so many things. Thank you for all the things you have given us, the sunshine, the rain, and our families in your love.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We offer these prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our scripture reading today comes from Psalm 99. The Lord is King, let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim, let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion, he is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he, mighty King, lover of justice. You have established equity, you have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Extol the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel also was among those who called on his name. They cried to the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in the pillar of cloud. He kept his decrees and the statutes that he gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them. You are a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrongdoings. Extol the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. As we go to God in a time and a moment of prayer, I would remind you that you are invited to come to the altar for a personal time of prayer, should you so desire or feel a need to come. Let us remember those among us who are sick on this day and remember to have them in our prayers. Also, let us remember Jim and Caroline. They are taking a weekend away. And let's have them in our prayers that they might return to us safely. And now let us pray together. Almighty God, for this time of worship, we, your children, thank you. As our children lead us in this observance of the National Day of Children's Sabbaths, we thank you, Lord, for these children. And may you remind us of the words of Isaiah that a little child shall lead them. Let those of us whose responsibility it is mold the lives of these children. Accept this challenge with maturity, we pray, and may we do it in God's love, and may we ever live before them the example of faith. May you this day, Lord, cause us to remember the bondage so many of the world's children continue to walk in. For those children held in bondage and poverty and violence and racism, we say a special prayer. Hold them tightly in the bosom of your love. And may the day come when these children, like our children, who lead us this day, may these children who suffer under those deplorable conditions of bondage and violence and poverty and racism, may they someday be set free, that they too might walk in the truth and grace of your love. And now Leighton Logan will lead us in the praying of the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive those trespasses, as we forgive those trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
And now let us at this time give to God his tithe and our offering.
Thank you. Please be seated, and we invite the children to come to the front for the children's message.
Tights today. Who didn't wear tights and doesn't have on long sleeves? A couple of y'all want to get together and snuggle up under this blanket? Come on up here. If you want to snuggle under the blanket, come on. You have to everybody get together. Don't get under it. I didn't mean really under it. I mean just, you know, put it over your lap and over your shoulders and get all warm and snuggly, okay? Okay? Can I sit right here beside you? Thank you very much. Well, we've got a lot of kids here today. Come on, let's everybody get warm underneath this blanket. Yeah. Yeah, scoot on up. You can sit beside a boy. It's okay. It's all right. All right. Very good. Very good. Well, today is Children's Sabbath Day, and some of you have already participated in church and helped lead worship service today. And this is just a way of showing in all the Methodist churches around the world, y'all listen to me, all around the world, Methodist churches are doing this with children because children belong to the church just as much as the grown-ups do. So we're letting everybody participate today. Our church is supposed to go out and make disciples. Our church is supposed to go out and do things for other people. In our mission statement on the back page of our bulletin today, and this is our bulletin every week for you grown-ups out there, the mission of Main Street United Methodist Church is to be a community of disciples, that means followers of Jesus, calling all to Christ through love and example. Well, y'all are being examples today by participating in Big Church because you're leading us in worship. And there's another way that y'all are going to be able to be an example to others is if you come to Parents' Night Out in December, close to Christmas time, y'all are going to get to make blankets like this. Won't that be cool? Yeah, I hope in the radio audience can hear these oohs and ahs of the kids. But you know what? We're not going to keep these blankets. We're going to give these blankets to the families that are participating in the warm project that we're doing. The adults will go and fix the houses and make the houses warmer for people in the wintertime, and we're also going to give them blankets like this so they can snuggle up in. Some of us have enough blankets at our house, but other people don't have enough blankets. This is pretty cuddly, isn't it?
Yes!
Yeah, it's pretty cuddly. Very good. Well, we're going to let y'all help and make these blankets so that you can participate in Project Warm, so that you will also be able, no tugging, you, so that y'all will be able to help make disciples, so that you also can call others to Christ and show love. So y'all be sure and show up for Parents' Night Out in December, and we'll all help making these blankets for the Project Warm families. You're definitely going. I'm going to mark you down, Sam. This is wonderful. We're not going to sew them. We're going to help tie them together. Well, maybe we'll figure out something for you to do, Cece, okay? We'll figure out some sewing. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank you for our church. Thank you for giving us hands and hearts to help. Amen.
Let us affirm now the affirmation of our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Gospel lesson taken from the 22nd chapter of Matthew's Gospel, beginning with verse 15. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. And so they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one. For you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this and whose title?" And they answered, "The empress." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." And when they heard this, they were amazed. And they left him and went away. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Some of you do not know me. I know because I do not know some of you. You came to Main Street, those that I do not know, after I retired. For 4 years, 1998 through 2002, it was my privilege to stand in this pulpit each Sunday morning. Main Street is one of the older churches in this community. And I became aware that many of God's little saints passed through the doors of this church. I also became aware that Main Street has always been willing to step beyond the boundaries of her ministry. And she has supported missionaries in foreign lands, missionaries like the Dawseys and the Rogers. And when Lander University came to Greenwood, Lander belonged to us Methodists. Some of you maybe didn't know that. And Main Street literally tore down their small sanctuary and built a new one so that they might be able to house the students. You see, in those days, it was mandatory that you attend church. And if you want to read about some of that, you can pick up one of the Reverend Harry May's books, The History of Main Street. Main Street's latest leap of faith is our beautiful buildings. The new building, the renovation of some of the older buildings, and I think particularly the campus, the yards around the church now. Some time ago, I suggested to several people that someone write a letter to our newspaper and thank the people of Main Street for making the north entrance to the entrance of Greenwood look so differently and so beautiful than what it used to be. Now you think about it. Well, I contacted several people and they haven't thanked Main Street, so I'm thanking you this morning. This church should really be proud of herself. Now, I could go on and on about things, but Jim asked me to preach this morning, and so I'm going to attempt to do that. I haven't preached but one time in 2 years, so I'm a little rusty, and you will have to forgive me. I was a little boy, 6 years old. And the war was over. And here I'm speaking of World War II. My father was still in Japan. He was among some of the first occupation forces to arrive and enter Japan. And it would be the summer of 1947 before he would return home. And so it was just me, my mother, my smaller sister, Aunt Bueller, and Annie. Now, Mom and Aunt Bueller, they worked in the mill. And there were no daycare centers in the little town where I grew up in. So Mom and Aunt Bueller hired Annie to care for my sister and me. We both loved Annie, and Annie loved us. She played with us. She taught us to sing some of those old spiritual songs like Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, I'm Coming for to Carry You Home. She cooked our food. She served it to us, but she never, ever sat at the table to eat with us. And I remember I would often say to her, Annie, come over here and eat with us. And she would always do this. Shh. Hush, child. Hush, child. It would be years before I would understand Annie's always, shh, hush, child. Years before I would understand that, hush, child. But I would always understand when she would pick me up and set me on her knee, and pick my little sister up and set her on her knee, and she would perch us there and sing to us, "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot," and "Steal Away to Jesus." She loved us and we loved her. But we were captured by a world that demanded those who were different must remain different. I thank God I have lived long enough and have watched some of the world that I have just spoken about be literally tossed into the garbage heap of history. But it's still a long way to go before it's over. There's something we often miss in today's lesson from the gospel. Until recently, I saw the words, "Render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God," as being the most important in that passage of Scripture. Now, I read to you a moment ago from the RSV. It says, "Render to Emperor what belongs to the Emperor and to God what belongs to God." But I like the old King James. "Render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God the things that belong to God." Until recently, I assumed, and I believe, that those were the most important words in that particular text that we've read. Now I'm not sure. For now I have come to see the most important words of this gospel lesson this morning as being verse 16. And I want to read verse 16 to you again. Listen to it. It's not the words of Jesus. It's the words of an extremist radical group who have been sent to him to trap him up and to embarrass him. And they come to him and they say, "Teacher, we know you are sincere. And we know that you teach the way of God in accordance with truth. We know that you show no difference to anyone, for you do not regard people with partiality." Now, how about that? If the political world is to survive, Caesar needs his share. And if the church is going to survive, God needs his share. However, neither will survive long if Caesar and the church drinks at the well of separatism. Our president had it right when he said to those G7 world leaders the other day, "We are in this thing together." All over the world. There's something interesting about this 16th verse of the 22nd chapter that I referred to a moment ago. The words come not from Jesus, but from a radical group of leaders. A group who has literally looked into the heart of Jesus. They have heard the message. They've looked into his heart. And they have chosen to reject it. This radical group neither cared for or liked the message of Jesus. You see, their world revolved around a world of differences. They were the elite. And they refused to accept Jesus' message. If they had chosen to accept his message, they would have to change. Now, if you were the top dog, would you? I mean, what might this old world be like if all of us loved God? And if all of us went out and treated our neighbors the way we'd like to be treated ourselves? What if all of us could love God and treat others like we'd like to be treated? Now, when I say that, I have to pause a moment. For even that comment in today's world creates a problem. For in today's world, you have to ask, who's God? My own or my neighbor's? For just a moment, I want to take you on a journey. And I'd like to begin this journey with this comment. Perhaps the time is upon us when we, you and I, a particular people of God, when we need to ask, how might we absorb into our thinking the belief and beliefs of the other great religions and cultures of the world? I mean, if we're in this thing together, we need to introduce ourselves to our brothers and sisters. And I have come to believe that if we're going to survive as a viable Christian community, or particularly if America is going to survive as the nation visioned in our Declaration of Independence, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. If we are that nation, it is imperative for us to reach out and wrap our arms around one another, warts and all. Hard to do, isn't it? It's hard to do. On this day of national observance of children's Sabbaths, you saw and heard our children leading us. And one of the reasons for the observance of this day, it was created, I think, some 17 years ago. It's for the children. It's for the children of the world, that we might work to create a world freed from poverty, violence, and racism. You know, all of us know by now, or at least we ought to know, that we live in an information age. In fact, the information age is about to directly become visible in this little community of ours. If the local paper has got it right, 400 jobs are about to come to our community through a company who does nothing but move information across the world. In the world of my childhood that I spoke of a moment ago, the information age was still in the future. 1946, I had never seen a television. Television was still an infant. We had a radio, but where I lived, you didn't get but few stations. I think, if I remember correctly, it was about 3 stations. And if you had one, the telephone I'm talking about, it had a crank on it. And you had to twist the crank. And what you were doing, you weren't dialing up the operator, you were cranking up the operator. And after you had talked with her about your new recipe and the news of the world, you then ask her to give you number 23. In other words, the print media still ruled the flow of information. Today, something has happened among us. Marshall McLuhan wrote about it. He talks about the medium, how the medium becomes the message. You see, in today's world, the medium no longer just reports the news. The medium is the news. And folks, that could be good or bad. For the medium could begin to tell us what to think and how to think. It's happening. You and I have got to learn to think for ourselves. In the words of the philosopher Descartes, I think, therefore I am. Here's what McLuhan told us about the medium. He says, the medium is the message because it is the medium that shapes and controls the scale and form of human association and action. We have to be sharp enough to ascertain what is out there. I think, therefore, I am. I would remind you, and those of you who have participated in the Disciple Bible Studies, you know this, and all of us ought to know it. The first words of our Bible were not written down in the beginning. The scripture was literally passed on through what is called the oral tradition. One person, by mouth, to another person. Particularly the Old Testament was done that way. But the New Testament was also done that way. Even the New Testament was passed on by the mouth, orally. You see, in Jesus' day, few people could read and write. And so the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul's letters, and John's revelation, one of these might be read, now listen to this, in its entirety in an early Christian worship service. I mean, the whole thing. Now, can you imagine if I stood up here this morning and read to you the entire book of Revelation? How many would be left when I finished? But that's the way it was done. Do you see where I'm going? A whole new world of thinking opens up for us when we come to understand that the writers of the Bible knew what McLuhan told us just a few years ago. The medium is the message. Let's look at our scripture for a moment. Teacher, we know you're sincere. You teach the way of God. You speak the truth. You treat us all alike. Now, if those men had just stopped right there and said nothing else, but they didn't. They were radical extremists. They didn't like Jesus, and so they intended to embarrass him. And here's their question. But not before that flattering comment. Jesus, you are all you have just said. We know you tell the truth. You show no deference. You show no partiality. Now what we want to know, is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Now, what did Jesus do? He reached out his hand and he said, pitch me a coin. And somebody in the crowd flipped him a coin and he caught it. And he fingered it a little bit. And then he held it up and he said, whose image is on this coin? And they said, Caesar's, of course. And I can imagine he must have smiled. And he flipped it back to its owner and he said, we'll give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God. Not only is Jesus the medium of the message, he is the message. And that's what got him nailed to the cross. You know, I shall never forget the beginning of a lecture that one of my old seminary professors did. You don't remember all those dry lectures, but I remember this one. We were studying the life and ministry of Jesus, and my professor came out this particular morning and began his lecture, and he stood up there before us, and it was just stone cold silence. He didn't say a word. He looked and he looked at each one of us. Seemed like an eternity passed before he spoke. And then he called each one of us by name. He looked at me and he said, Jenkins, would you die for me? Would you die for me? And he let that question sink in and he said it again. Would you die for me? There is not a parent in this sanctuary this morning who would not be willing to die for his or her child. Now think about it. If you are willing to die for your child, God is willing to die for all of his children. And that's what we learn from Jesus, and that's what we learn from the cross. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus spoke from the cross. Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they've done. And then it's finished. I've come to see those words as a call to all who lay claim to be Christian. It was for the people of the world. All the people of the world. That God raised the cross. And Jesus climbed up on that cross and gave his life. And then do you know what he did? He literally put that cross on your shoulders and mine. And we have become the medium. And we have become the message. You see, up on our shoulders rests everything. The life and ministry of Jesus points to do the work of God. To do the work God calls us to means we have to struggle with life the same way Jesus struggled. And a good thorough study of the Gospels might help us all. I think, therefore I am. Now I'm about to say something that you're going to think he's nuts. Retirement has just literally driven him up the wall. I remember it was Martin Luther who said, and you got to think about this, I think Martin Luther, the reformer, German reformer, said, love God and do what you want to. The philosopher Descartes said, I think, therefore I am. In this modern world, we have got to learn to think. We have got to turn to the church again. We are the medium. We are the messenger. And we are also the message. Now get that. We're all three. Did not Jesus tell us that you're going to do greater things than I did? So when somebody asks you, what does God look like? Our response ought to be this. Look at me. If I am the medium, if I am the messenger, I have become the message. I don't know if you got it or not, but that's what I learned from Annie. I had heard it in the words of Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, and Steal Away to Jesus. Annie, I said, come over here and eat with us, and always, shh, hush, child. Hush, child. You see, Annie knew who she was. She knew she was both the messenger and the message. She knew the time would come when she would no longer be different. And she wanted to teach me and my sister we are not different either. She wanted to teach us who we were too. We're not different. We all belong to the one who created us all. You know, sometimes we talk too much, and sometimes we even do too much, and sometimes we need a nanny. Say, shh, hush, child. Hush, child. Amen. holy God, let us go forth now that we shall be in your service, knowing who we are and what our task is as your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.